With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
And welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, and coming up over the course of the next 50 minutes or so, we'll be bringing you some reaction to the Integro League Cup semi-final matches from Thursday evening. We'll also be talking to the management at Farsley Celtic and Whitby Town. We've got a full fixture preview with Mark Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast. We're also going to be talking the playoffs with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. And we've got James Hayes too. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. Very, very shortly, we're going to be speaking with James Hayes from the league to look back at a very, very eventful 7 days or so in the Northern Premier League, as we'll be looking back at all the results from this past week or so. We've also got later on some interviews. We're going to be hearing from Whitby Town's manager, Chris Hardy, and we've also got Adam Laitland coming on from Farsley Celtic too. Got a full fixture preview with Mark Carruthers, and later on in the show, we're also going to be hearing from Andrew Simpson about Thursday night's games in the playoff race, and we'll have reaction from both Keys Park and Mariners Park from Thursday evening's Integro League Cup semi-finals between South Shields and Colville Town and Hensford Town versus Atherton Colls. We'll have more on that later. But before that, it's now time to welcome back a dear old friend to the show here on a Wednesday evening. We're pre-recording this on a Wednesday evening. And down the other end of the phone, just let me check the calendar. Yes, also on Wednesday evening, it's James Hayes. Hello, James, how are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So, loads of results from this past week or so. We should say we are recording this on Wednesday. There are some Integro League Cup semi-final matches on Thursday. And later in the show, we're going to be hearing from Mark Carruthers with a fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the league, who's also at one of the Thursday night semi-final games. He's at South Shields. So that's going to be really confusing for the listener, just to say. But I'm enjoying all this pre-recorded in the future. That was the result from last night, but the result hasn't actually happened yet kind of programme, James. I'm enjoying it. But that means it's April, and that means we've got to cram in loads of fixtures, loads of results, and this week has been no different. Let's start off with the top end of the table. Altrincham, it's going to take something now, isn't it? I mean, they've got an 8-point lead up at the top. They won on Saturday, beating Lancaster City. Then they had a 1-1 draw against Stourbridge on the Monday. And you think, oh, they've dropped points there. But so Warrington. Warrington Town losing 2-1 at Nantwich Town on Saturday. And then drawing 0-0 in the return fixture. And it's been not much better for Grantham either. Getting beat at the weekend 3-0 at home to Micklethwaite Sports. And then 3-1 away at Lancaster City. So with 6 games left of the season, James, for Altrincham, they're in pole position, I feel.
Yeah, it's all in their own hands now. The only game they've got left against the top six is Grantham in 2 weeks' time. So, depending on results on the Thursday night as well,
yeah,
it is literally just Grantham that can stop them now.
Now, on Thursday night, Warrington Town will be playing Whitby. So, there's a chance that gap could be down to 5 points when this show airs. But that will also mean Altrincham still have a game in hand as well. So you say about Grantham, Grantham have dropped down to fourth. That's because, well, Ashton United have had a good weekend, haven't they? Ashton United beat Whitby Town, the aforementioned Whitby Town, by 4-0 on Saturday afternoon. A great result there. And then on Tuesday night, Ashton United beat Stafford Rangers by 1-0. So a decent set of results there for Ashton United. Sees them up into third position and almost comfortably now in the playoffs. 9 points into the playoffs.
Yeah, again, another big winner of the weekend just gone. They've already played all the top six sides now. All they've got left are pretty much the teams with nothing to play for. So they can just put all the focus into it. But you've got to say they're nailed on now for a home playoff. They're scoring for goals of fun at this moment in time. So it's, again, this is in the sweltering of it. It's up to Ashton now to seal the deal to get themselves into the playoffs.
With home advantage?
Yes. Well, home advantage, even just to get in there, because, again, you never know.
Well,
there's some fixtures coming up.
I was going to say, for Farsley, the playoffs, it looks like on paper sorted. There are some games in hand, though, we have to say. On Thursday evening, there's a massive game near Leeds, and that's Farsley Celtic against Witton Albion, and that could could seal the deal for Fazzy Celtic in the playoffs. So we had a bit of clarity over the past 7 days or so when it comes to the league from Fazzy Celtic. Fazzy Celtic beat Stalybridge Celtic at Bower Fold in the Celtic Derby by 4-1. Nathan Cartman getting a hat-trick there for Fazzy Celtic. And then on Tuesday evening, Fazzy Celtic beat Workington by 2-1. Very, very good results there for Fazzy Celtic. Making hay while the sun was shining, or in Marine's case, while it was raining and Witton Albion couldn't play. So for Fazzy Celtic, heading into that Thursday night game against Witton Albion, they've got a 9-point lead over Witton Albion. Witton Albion have 2 games in hand at time of recording, so and that won't change on Friday, we should say. For Shaw Lane are the other playoff candidates, and well, Shaw Lane, the fixtures just keep piling up, don't they, James? But on Saturday, they beat Rushall Olympic by 3-1. And then, because they're in this situation now where they're having to play loads of games, they then hosted Marine, and Marine beat them by 3-1 on Monday. And then on Thursday evening, well, Shaw Lane away at Stalybridge Celtic, but it is a designated home game. So that's where we are with Shaw Lane at the moment, trying to squeeze in all the games. They've got, at time of recording, they've got a 7-point deficit to overcome, but they do have 3 games in hand over Fazzy Celtic, so it's still in Shaw Lane's hands at time of recording.
It is in Shaw Lane's hands, but the big focus is on Fazzy and Witton, because they've got to play each other twice within a week. If Fazzy win both of them games, I think that could be it for the playoff race. Shaw Lane, they've still got a couple of tough fixtures to come up. The result against Marine themselves wouldn't have done them any favours at all. They needed to win that one. It's a very, very tough ask. And again, the situation now is where any home games they've got potentially might not be at home. They might be reversed or at neutral venue. So it's going to be a very difficult time. Plus, you've got to factor in the tiredness. They've still got a breath of hope, but it's going to be a very, very tough ask. But I don't see it in their hands anymore. It's down to Fazzy and Witton Albion to decide if Shaw Lane have got a say in this playoff race now.
So that's the playoff race at the moment. I think we're safe in saying now that Barwell, there's too much to do. 11 points with 6 games left to play. Buxton have got themselves up into 9th position in recent games as well. Just to focus on the Buxton results, a 4-2 win over Workington. A bit of a knockout blow that for Workington and their distant hopes, really, of reaching in the playoffs there. Buxton have been on a decent run of form, but then they got beat midweek by Rushall Olympic by 2-0. For Barwell beat Sutton Coldfield by 2-1 on the weekend. And more on Sutton Coldfield now. That result there, combined with Hales Owens' 0-0 draw with Stafford Rangers on Saturday, has condemned Sutton Coldfield to relegation from the Premier Division. And obviously we send all our best wishes to Neil Tooth and everyone at the club. Someone has to finish bottom. And unfortunately for Sutton Coldfield Town this season, that is the Royals, and we hope they bounce back soon. But we covered it last week in depth, James. It's just not been their season, has it, really?
No, again, if they could have been dead, if it was just the 4 teams going down as usual, this would have been weeks ago, in fairness. But they gave it a good crack towards the end. If, as I mentioned last week, it was the start of the season that had cost them.
Just to cover off some of the other results from the past week or so, Matlock Town 3, Colville Town 1, a result at the weekend. And I believe Matlock Town are now offering discounted tickets for the last 4 home games of the season. You can buy 4 tickets priced at just £30. And that's a 25% discount. So, if they keep winning matches the way they've done there, then why not go down to Causeway Lane and see what Matlock are offering at the moment? 3-1 winners against Colville Town at the weekend. Just seeing if there's any more results I've not mentioned yet. I think we covered all those results there. Yes, I covered the Stalybridge one. And anything from midweek, I've covered all of them. And yes, I've covered everything. Remarkable. Just to cover off Division 1, James, starting off with Division 1 South, customary question. Basford, yes? Yes?
They've done it.
Whey!
They've done it now.
Well, there you go.
And talking 3 weeks, but they've finally done it.
But they've not won the league yet.
No, they still need 4 points for the title. They dropped points on Monday night. They're 3 points away at Lincoln United on Monday night. Now Church picking up three on the Tuesday. So they still need, I think it's 4 points they're off for the title now. But again, they're over the line. But they've already said the focus is to seal the title before they start relaxing and get ready for next year.
I mean, it's all happening, though, behind Basford United. Alva Church, a good win on Tuesday evening, 3-2 against Carlton Town. But don't even get me started on Frickle Athletic, James. What a result that was on Saturday. 6-0 winners away at Belper Town. A 3-1 win on Tuesday evening against Spalding United. But Bedworth are doing enough as well to pile the pressure on when it comes to that second automatic promotion spot, beating Romulus 2-1 on Saturday. So it is all happening, isn't it? And it looks like it's now a three-horse race for automatic promotion spot. Stamford and Chasetown slipping back this past week. But then themselves look like they're nearly in the playoffs. It's just a case of trying to stretch the legs a bit away from Leek Town and Lincoln United as well, if they can. Just a mention for Division 1 North, James. What on earth is going on in Division 1 North?
The top three are finally starting to find some form at the right time. Last couple of weeks, they've been dropping points here, there and everywhere. Scarborough scoring 8 against Ratcliffe in the last 7 days as well. South Shields coming back from behind against Goole. And Goole can now go down on this coming Saturday. Working it out with all the other Tony Kemp still like, it worked about 8 points. Scarborough needs to seal the third promotion spot for the league. So the focus now is on who's going to get the seventh playoff spot at this moment in time.
Well,
because it's a massive fight there.
I was going to say, but just to say about Scarborough Athletic, I know they're sitting in third at the minute, but 18 points the difference between themselves and Trafford in sixth. That goes to show you what the title race has done to Division 1 North. And you know, Trafford, Colwyn Bay, Cone, Tadcaster Albion, the like, they've had good seasons. But South Shields, Hyde United and Scarborough have just been on another planet, haven't they, when it comes to form this season. It's all about that race for sixth and seventh now, and just making sure that whoever gets there in the playoffs, it'll be a great achievement for Division 1 North to have won that race, and whoever gets there will have deserved it. That's all happening in Division 1 North. James, just before you go, any bits of housekeeping?
Yeah, this coming Sunday, we finally announced the winners.
Oh my goodness, is it that time of year already?
It is indeed, the drama.
Right, so stand by your beds on Sunday. How are you doing it on Twitter, Instagram?
Yeah, we're doing the video on Facebook, announcements on Twitter, same as usual. The awards start about 7, 8 o'clock. Obviously, we're not turning the cameras on while we eat food, don't worry. I don't think people want to see me eat. But from 12 o'clock, we'll be doing like a build-up throughout the day. And then, again, 7 o'clock, we'll see who's won what.
So it's now time for a good old-fashioned fixture preview, but not any old fixture preview. Listeners might have got used to the idea that we're now pre-recording our shows as football is taking place. Therefore, really, these broadcasts are pretty pointless. But we give them a good go anyway. And joining us now from the Mariners up in the northeast, the home of South Shields, we're now joined by the welcome return for a fixture preview for a in the past stroke future fixture preview. It's Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Bit of drizzle here at Mariners Park ahead of the Integral Cup semi-final, but nothing we can't handle.
No, sure. Absolutely. So tonight, we're recording this on Thursday, as you might have gathered, and we covered the semi-finals on last week's show. Hensford Town against Atherton Colls, South Shields against Colville Town. We obviously had Lee Picton on last week, as well as all the other managers. What are you expecting tonight?
Well, it's a much changed South Shields lineup. There's some first-team players in, but they have got a very vibrant academy up here, and there's a few of the academy lads getting a chance tonight as well. But you know, they've been playing in the league recently as well. A couple of them made their debuts in the last couple of weeks. One of the lads, Dan Lowther, scored his first goal for the club within about 2 minutes of coming on in midweek. So you know, you've got to make them favourites despite the fact that there's a change of lineup. But we shall see. It's going to be an interesting one. It's nice to see Lee and Graham giving the young lads a chance.
Absolutely. I mean, you said he was going to do that last week, and they need to spread the love around, don't they? Because it's, you know, they've got a league to win as well. But it looks like with the top of the Premier Division, with the top of Division 1 North and South, we're starting to get a bit of clarity now. What's the mood at South Shields like for the league?
I think it's confident, but not overly confident. If I can go into the world of football cliches, I would say that they are taking it one game at a time, so they won't be looking ahead to Saturday's game here against Coleman Bay. They're just focusing on tonight, and then, you know, that's what they're very good at. The back end of last season in the Northern League, they had a ridiculous schedule where they were playing Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for the last 3 weeks of the season. So what they've got ahead of them now won't faze them. They have got a good squad, which is now backed up by the academy. So I think it's confident, but not overconfident.
And obviously tonight there's those two cup semi-finals, which by the magic of radio we'll let you know who won and made it through to the final later on in the show. But there's also some league matches as well. Whitby Town against Warrington Town feels very important when it comes to the title race. We've also got Shaw Lane against Stalybridge Celtic, very, very important for the playoff race. As is Farsley Celtic against Witton Albion. Big, big games on Thursday night, and I just wish we knew the results so we could talk more about it, Mark.
Well, it kind of depends how you look at this. It's either a blessing if you love going to games, because there's always something around at the moment. I feel like I'm at a game every day of the week at the moment, which is good because it gets me out of the house. But it's for these players, and it must be a nightmare at times to be playing four games a week. And I know there's worse things to happen in life, but it is a serious strain on what we shouldn't forget, our semi-professional players. But nights like tonight, with the league, with the cup, they can be pivotal and set up someone for a successful season between now and May.
I mean, this time last year, we were planning ahead for the playoff semi-finals, and we thought, you know what we'll do? We'll do a Soccer Saturday-style grandstand thing where we've got reporters every game. Isn't non-league wonderful? We could have done that tonight, really, couldn't we?
It's great, and I think I was looking. There's no game up in the northeast tomorrow night, which is a bit of a shame. And then Sundays after that are pretty much the only time there isn't a game, because some of the Northern League clubs are looking at Mask United, who could very much be in the Evo Stick setup next season. Mask have got 13 games in 23 days coming up. They were supposed to play North Shields tonight. That's been postponed. So now that they've got 13 games in 23 days, which is just ludicrous. A ludicrous tally of games to have in such a short space of time.
Absolutely. And well, let's talk about some of Saturday's matches now. And depending on what happens on Thursday night, will dictate just how important some of these games are. Altrincham, they're taking on Barwell on Saturday. At time of recording, as we've said, it's an 8-point gap to Warrington Town in second spot. Altrincham, they could put their foot down, couldn't they, and really seal the deal in advance of the last game of the season. Do you think that could happen, or is that not non-league style?
No, I think it could happen. There's a lot of confidence at Altrincham. I would argue say they're one of the biggest clubs to be in the Euro Stick setup for a long time. You look at the likes of Jordan Hulme, who's been a great signing there, you know, 24 goals this season. Probably one of the signs in the season in terms of the Evo Stick Premier. I wouldn't be shocked if they do it in the next sort of 7 days, and if it's wrapped up by the weekend. I can't see them, despite Barwell having a decent season, I just can't see them having too many problems. Barwell, I think, sat in eighth, just outside the playoffs, probably no chance of getting in the playoffs at the moment. So I think it's going to be a comfortable home win.
And that then leaves Farsley Celtic against Warrington Town, the other game on Saturday, and that could be really, really important because obviously we'll cover whoever won tonight's game between Farsley and Witten on this week's show. We'll either get Andrew Simpson on or we'll get Adam Lakeland on. But Farsley Celtic, it's staggering, isn't it? What an achievement it is for Farsley Celtic to still be in the playoff positions. They had so many games played, more than everyone else, and everyone was going, yeah, just you wait till they get caught up. But they're still there, aren't they? And all credit to them, they've earned it.
Yeah, and I think it's down to clever management. Obviously, they've had to rotate the squad because of what they've faced over the last few weeks, and having to, you know, make up that sort of deficit of games. And the manager in there has obviously had to rotate, you know, give some players a rest, because putting up with that schedule is not easy. Again, I keep going back to the fact that these are part-time footballers. They have full-time jobs during the day. It's just not easy. But full credit to everyone at the club, including the volunteers, because I dare say there's been quite a strain on them as well.
Absolutely. Obviously, as well, we should say Witton Albion, they've got Stafford Rangers on Saturday. You know what I'm going to say, dear listener. Depending on the results on Thursday, we'll say how important that game is. As is Shaw Lane against Lancaster City. They've got a tough game on Thursday night against Stalybridge. The shackles are off Stalybridge now, and they're playing some good football.
It's amazing how that happens, isn't it, when a side has had such a poor season. And all of a sudden, they can turn things around in an instant. And Stalybridge, again, a big club, you know, not so long ago they were doing well in the National League North, as it's called now. I was quite surprised to see them struggle as badly as they have done. I did think that things would turn around fairly quickly, or after a poor start they would get going earlier than what they have. But finally they've turned it around. I think it's fairly obvious they're not going to go down now. In fact, I don't think they can.
They can.
It's now a case of how high can we finish this season, and can we build momentum going into next season?
Absolutely. So Stalybridge Celtic this weekend, they're travelling to Stourbridge. But back into the playoff positions. Speaking of can't go down, Hales Owen Town cannot go down. Job done. Hales Owen Town are hosting Ashton United this weekend, and Ashton United have got, at time of recording, a 9-point lead into the playoff positions. They just need a couple more victories, and then Jody Branham can start thinking about whether he wants home advantage or not, I suppose.
Yeah, you'd kind of be surprised if they threw away that lead that they've got between now and the end of the season. A very hard place to go is Hurst Cross. They've got a good goal scorer in Matthew Chadwick, someone who's always, he's done it over a number of years in the league now. As you say, Jody Bannon done a good job there. He'll want to finish as high at the league as possible to get those home ties, because, again, knowing how Hurst Cross could be, how tough a place that can be to go, that home advantage in the playoffs will be massive for them.
Absolutely. And what about Grantham Town? Grantham Town are taking on Workington this weekend. It looked like Workington were edging their way back into it, and I think that's gone now. Grantham Town, it's touch and go, isn't it? They're in the playoffs, so they're not going to get caught, are they, by Shaw Lane or Witton?
It would take something for Grantham to be caught. I think with Grantham, I say the same thing that everyone says about them. It's a difficult place to go. They've got a good goal scorer in Lee Shaw. They've got a good manager who knows the game inside out in the area, has made some very astute signings, and I just can't see them looking at the table. I can't see Shaw Lane catching them, as much as there is a very, very talented squad at Shaw Lane. I think Witton are just going to run out of games, and Grantham will get in there. For me, Grantham possibly would be the story of the season in terms of the Evo Stick Premier, because I don't think anyone saw them doing what they've done.
Just to say, there are other fixtures as well, but I'm going to get you to nail your colours to the mast now, Mark, and embarrass yourself on international podcasting radio.
That's what I'm used to, that.
Is the four that's in there at 20-8 on Thursday night, the four that's in there now, is that the four that's going to be in the playoffs come the end of April?
Yes. Wow. I'd say yes. I'd be maybe not in the order they're in. But certainly in terms of the makeup of it, yes, I think they will. I think that'll be the four.
There we go, dear listener at home. Just to say, some other matches. Michelover Sports are taking on Buxton this weekend. Buxton up to ninth, Mark. Ninth. That's a turn up for the Bucks, isn't it? And you're talking about Barwell and Workington building on the end of season, bit of momentum. Buxton have got that in droves at the moment, haven't they?
Well, I think what they've done, obviously, when Martin McIntosh left, when you've got a manager who's so established at the club, it's always, you tend to find there's a bit of a lull after he leaves. But it seems to work the other way around with Buxton. They've kicked on. It's the club that I thought would do well again this season, but they haven't. There's a bit of a pattern coming here, isn't there, when I think someone's going to do well. But anyway, so maybe I should apologise to those four clubs in the playoffs now. But in terms of Buxton, I think when you've got people like Liam Hardy, probably one of the most talented goal scorers to have played in the Evo Stick for a few years, you're always going to have a chance of finishing high at the table. I did think there were chances of playoffs this season. Again, that's kind of come too late, this charge. But it's about building momentum for next season. Get the summer, have a look at the squad. Where can you improve? and just go from there. You're probably going to hear a bit
yes,
of noise.
Yes, I was going to say the teams are coming out. So I'll just ask you a couple more questions. Colville Town are this evening's opponents for South Shields. They've got Marine this weekend. I think it is the League Cup or nothing for Colville now. We've also got Nantwich Town against Rushall Olympic. And finally, we've got Sutton Coldfield Town against Hensford Town. And we've finally got Whitby Town against Matlock Town. Just a closing thought from you, Mark, on Whitby Town. Chris Hardy's got an extension to his contract, and that means they could build for next season with a bit of stability.
Yeah, I think I've said probably every time I come on here, I'm a big fan of Chris. I think he's a very good manager, gets his teams playing football in the right way. Or the right way for our view football anyway. It's, you know, keeps the ball on the ground, likes footballers, likes to play the ball through midfield. I think things haven't gone how we maybe planned them to go this season at Whitby, but there has been a lot of changes in the playing squad. But I think they're setting plans in place for next season, and I think they could challenge next season in terms of the top half of the table.
And just before you go, Matt, just a quick plug for the North East Football Podcast. You've recorded an episode at Mariners Park today, I believe. What's on that, and when's it out?
We did, yes. We had John Shaw, who is currently went number four for South Shields tonight. We had him on. We had Ross Gregory, who is the Sunderland Eagles head of sport. And we had Tom Wade, former Black Spartans manager. He was on as well. Just looking at the FA's decision to, extend the season, I guess you could say, from a Northern League point of view. Extended by 2 games if the game includes promotion or relegation club. Or 7 days if it doesn't, which is quite weird. But we had that on. We've discussed everything in the National League. Gates are going up for sale. Hartlepool being sold. So it's a busy podcast. It's available on iTunes and SoundCloud now.
Well, Matt,
and the link is on Twitter at NEF Podcast.
Perfect. Well, Matt Carruthers, I won't keep you then. You head up to that press box, have a pie on me, and have a lovely evening, and we'll speak to you soon.
Will do. Thank you. Hi,
Matt. Hi, Mark. I basically decided that I can't let you go. I can't let you go that easy without giving us a full rundown on what exactly happened between South Shields and Colville Town in the semi-finals of the Integro League Cup. It's full time. It's up to Mariners Park. Mark Carruthers, are you there? What happened?
I am. It's finished. As you can hear, the referee's not the most popular man here at Mariners Park. Some controversial decisions later on, but it's finished Colville Town. They've won 3-2 here at Mariners Park against South Shields. Dan Craney with an early goal for Colville Town, but goal from Michael Richardson got South Shields back in level terms on 20 minutes. Great through ball from a young fullback here at South Shields called Ethan Bower. Visitors went back in front just in the first few minutes of the second half with a goal from Nathan Watson. Watson then extended the lead on 67 minutes. We set up for a grandstand finish with a deflected free kick from Michael Richardson. Graham Armstrong had a great chance to take the tie to penalties, but fired over the bar in the last 5 minutes, and that was enough to take Colville through.
Was there a chance that was offside as well? Or am I getting mixed up with the Atherton game? Because been great this evening.
Yeah, that's kind of where it's come from, the boost for the referee, because there was a free kick put in by Richardson. Looked as if it was John Shaw who headed it past the goalkeeper, but the flag went up, but I'm not sure it was against John Shaw because he made a late run. Definitely wasn't offside. There was someone standing in his area who didn't really move for the ball. So I think that's where the confusion's come from. But having said that, Colville had 4 shots cleared off the line and hit the post. So I think we can safely say they were worthy winners.
It seems remarkable, and this goes to show you where South Shields are at the moment, that it feels like the underdogs have won tonight.
I guess so, yeah. But I think with South Shields, they're going to face, if or when they come up next season, they're going to face battle-hardened sides that know the league very well. Ones that have played in that level for 4 or 5 years now. And tonight's a little bit of a sign that they need to still progress, they need to keep improving, because they were second best for large majorities of the game. We should say it was a much changed South Shields lineup, but maybe it shows that some of the youngsters aren't quite ready for a regular spot in the first team.
But what an achievement for Tommy Brookbanks at Colville to reach a final this season, the way they have done as well. Job done for Colville. Survival in the Premier Division, no problem at all. And a final.
Do you know what I was really impressed with them tonight? It's obviously I don't get to see them a lot now that I'm based in the North East permanently. And I just thought Nathan Watson up front had a great game, led the line brilliantly. Took his goals really well, but they could have won this a lot more comfortably if it hadn't been for some last-ditch defending from South Shields and the woodwork. It was they looked organised, they looked solid, and I think, as you say, if they can win in the final against, I mean, it's Atherton Colliery's, I think that, you know, it's a great season for them.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, I'll let you go home now. A big thank you for you. Put your timesheet in the morning, and I'm sure HR will get back to you, and payroll will get back to you on overtime.
We did agree time and a half, didn't we?
We did. A third. Anyway, thank you. It's not week, it's not Sunday. Thank you, Mark Carruthers, from the North East Football Podcast. You have a lovely evening, and we'll speak to you soon, my friend. So, from Mariners Park to Keys Park now, and on the other end of the phone, we've got friend of the show. It's Gibbo. Hello, Gibbo. How are you? From Atherton Colts.
Hello. Good evening.
So, we've just had Mark Carruthers on, and he gave a very, very professional, grandstand-like match report on what's just happened up there at South Shields against Colville. There's been a brilliant performance this evening from the Division 1 North side you support. Tell us all about it.
Oh, I'll tell you what, my heart's still pounding. Like, we've just hugged all the players and everything. And, you know, 5 years ago, we were Norfolk County's Division 1. Ensford, I think, at the time, were Conference North. And they were a million miles away from what we ever thought we'd ever be able to beat. And we've come here tonight, beat them. I think it was 4-1, Ben. I can't remember.
That's what it's what your Twitter feed says. You were doing the Twitter updates, were you? Or was it between four of you?
It's been... I've had to delegate my responsibilities a bit recently, but, you know, we were winning. That's all I knew.
You were 3-0. Was it 3-0 up at one point as well towards the end there? I mean, it's been
3-0 up, and then they got a penalty towards the end. They had a man sent off when we went 3-0 up. I don't know what for, to be honest. It was a bit soft.
I did like the tweet. Did it involve a bin and some Walker's crisp, perhaps, or something? I don't know.
Maybe. It could have been one of them. but, you know, we've won 4-1 at Ensford. If you'd have said that 4 years ago, we'd have laughed at you. It's just one of them. It's like, you know, we're on the peak of a wave at the minute at Coles, and if this is our peak winning at Ensford, we'll take it. I do not care. I bought some Wolves fans from Jaeger Bombs before. I'm enjoying my night as it is.
Remember, dear listener, drink responsibly. but just to say, Gibbo, it's been a whole season pretty much since we last spoke against Kendall Town, wasn't it?
I remember that night.
And we were talking about your hopes and aspirations for the season to come. You've got a final in your pocket now against Colville Town. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, the League Cup's a distraction and all this. You're going to take that final now, aren't you? And you're all going to have a good time.
No, definitely. We said mid-table when we came up, and we were lingering towards the bottom half around December time. Made a couple of changes. We even brought back a few of our players who got us promoted from the North West Counties, and we brought them back just to get a bit of stability back, and it's done us really, really proud. We've gone on from there. We've taken this competition slowly, but we said, like, let's go for a bit of silverware. You know, we're new to this league. Let's try and make a bit of a name for ourselves, and we've gone for it. You know, we've beaten Skelmersdale, we've beaten Bamberbridge, we've beaten Scarborough, we've beaten Ensford tonight. What's wrong with going for Colville in the final? We're going as underdogs, but we love it, you know.
Oh, and you could hear the crowd there. I was going to say, we did speak to Michael last week, but T has got in his brain that Atherton Colts could finish seventh if they put a run together. You're 11 points from seventh at the moment. Is that even on your agenda at the moment, Gibbo, as a supporter?
I'll be honest, I think the last couple of games, I know we've played South Shields, and it could be easy to say we've rested players, but our focus really has been on this game tonight, and we've rested a couple of players. We've started our striker, Jordan Culver, tonight. He started straight from the start, and he's gone for it, and you know, we might rest a couple again against Ossett Town on Saturday. But, you know, the pressure's off us in the league. We wanted to survive. We could have gone for mid-table if we wanted to. We've done that. Let's go for this cup now. Because, you know, 4 years ago, if you'd said we could be in a final for this, we'd have laughed and laughed and laughed.
Well,
it's beyond our wildest dreams to be in the Integral League Cup final.
Well, Gibbo, a big thank you for taking the time out your busy evening to come on the show. Much appreciated. And even though that you're clearly very, very excited, you keep it under wraps really well. So thanks very much. And we'll speak to you probably at the final. You keep up the good work and safe journey back. And a big congratulations to Colville Town and Atherton Colliers on making it through to the Integral League Cup final. And we'll have more news on venues and dates and that kind of thing on next week's show. But that's the results when it comes to the League Cup from Thursday night. There were three big league matches, which we have been touching upon on this week's show. And for more on these results now, we're now joined by the welcome return from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, friend of the show. Please welcome back Mr. Andrew Simpson. We decided last night that we were going to do some kind of results service. And we started off with the Integral League Cup. We had Mark Carruthers on and Gibbo from Keys Park. So I thought, well, we need a reaction to Thursday night's league games. We're going to hear from Chris Hardy and Adam Lakeland in a second. Whitby Town beat drew 2-2 with Warrington Town on Thursday evening. A good result that for Whitby. But when it comes to the playoffs, Shawlane 2, Stalybridge Celtic 0, and Farsley Celtic 1, Witton Albion 1. Simo, what does this mean, do you feel?
It means that there's a little bit more clarity, I think, in so much as it's now much harder for Witten to break into the top five. It's not impossible, and certainly after last night's game, Carl McCauley didn't throw the towel in. It's just not his style. But he did. He's also an honest fella, and he did say it's harder now. And for the first time, they're going to need a favour from somebody. Whereas previously, or certainly going into last night's game, they were in control of their destiny if they continued to do their job. Whilst he was disappointed, he was kind of disappointed in the most positive possible way, if that makes sense, because his team had played really, really well, by far the better side on the night. They should have taken 3 points, certainly had enough chances to take 3 points. But, and as he'd said in the run-up to it, it was really a must-win game. And I did feel a little bit sorry for Witten in so much as the postponement of their game against Marine last weekend denied them an opportunity to kind of keep in touch with everybody else. And you have to give enormous credit to Farsley for taking advantage of that, because they played three games in 6 days, picked up 9 points to move clear of Witten. And I think that really piled the pressure on Witten going into last night's game. They handled it well. I have to give enormous credit as well to Farsley in so much as they looked absolutely knackered. I mean, they will have got home really late on Tuesday from a long old trip up to Workington. They did pick up the 3 points.
I believe they got back on Wednesday, technically.
Well, there you go. Exactly. And so, I they deserve so much credit. I mean, they were dead on their feet. I'm not saying Witten are a better team than Farsley before everyone starts shouting at me. Witten were a better team on the night, but Farsley dug so deep for their manager. He'll be so pleased. The point is a really, really good result for them. 10 points from that schedule that they've had in 7 days is a fantastic return. And they put themselves in a brilliant position. What it means going into the weekend, I mean, Witten do need a favour from somebody. Well, Farsley are at home to Warrington, so Carl and his team will be looking at it going, well, maybe there's a chance that we'll get that favour. He thinks that Witten probably will now have to pick up 18 points. They're going to need to win all six of their remaining games. It's not impossible. But if you look at the maximum points that those three can now pick up, Witten do need that favour because they can only get to 80 points even if they do win all their games, whereas the other two have got a little bit of wriggle room. Shawlane, they're right in it again, aren't they?
Yes.
It's kind of falling over the line a little bit, but Chris Wilcox managed to eke a couple of wins out of them, and it's given them a real fighting chance. Do you know what I did think when I looked at the table this morning? We talked about Basford last season, Division 1 South, missing out because of the points deduction. You just wonder whether it's going to be so tight, whether that points deduction may prove to be really, really costly for Shawlane. I hope not. I hope it's decided on what goes on the field, but I can just start to feel a similar scenario to what Basford had last season. But we'll have to see. But I think what Chris has done, he's probably given Shawlane supporters a little bit of optimism, because it looked really bleak, didn't it, when they were on that losing run, and he's just eked a couple of wins out and they're right back in it now. But I think I still think it might go all the way, you know. I still think it might go to the last week of the season.
I was going to say, from a Witten perspective, you said they need favours. obviously, I think they need Charlene to drop points, obviously. But they also, yeah. I think you're right, they need to win every game. But there is that game looming on Tuesday the 24th of April, isn't there? Where Witton Albion will be playing for the Celtic. And at the moment, going into this weekend's matches, Witton Albion 9 points behind Farsley Celtic with 2 games in hand, and Witton have a better goal difference.
Yeah, so... Absolutely, which is why they certainly weren't saying it's over. It's also why I think it'll, you know, when they've woken up this morning, that it'll needle them that they've not won a game that they should have won. That's frustrating. But I suppose you can kind of flip that coin the other way and say, well, actually, hang on a minute, we totally outplay the side that's currently ahead of us, and that should give us optimism that, you know, we're still good enough to stay in this race. The fixture list isn't too bad, and like you say, it does give them a second crack at Farsley, so they have to be ready if Farsley do make a slip up. That's the key now for Witton, and then you know, they'll be favourites to beat Stafford this weekend. Obviously, you know, they need Shawlane to drop points as well, which Shawlane have been doing despite Chris Wilcott kind of clawing some form back. They have still been losing games as well, and in the mixes, the problems they've got with their pitch. You know, they switched the home game to an away game last night, so it's all a little bit up in the air for Shawlane. So, like I say, I think Witten's percentage chances receded, but it's still a 3-horse race, very much. I think is how I would sum up what's happened last night.
And of course, you've got to factor in Grantham as well, haven't you? I mean, maybe even Ashton. I mean, it's not a done deal at the moment, because you've got teams with games in hand all over the shop. So it's you started off by talking about clarity. Simo, I'm more confused than ever.
you've driven a bus through my argument. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, Warrington, they're not winning 6 games now. Probably their title hopes have gone. So they just need to kind of steady themselves going into the playoffs. You're right, Grantham have been a little bit inconsistent in the past couple of weeks. I still think those three are nailed on. I still think Warrington, Ashton and Grantham are nailed on. I still think it's the others battling out for the other place. But no, fair comment. I might be made to look. I mean, if the grand scheme of football has taught us nothing this week, it's that being a puppet is a fool's job. So it keeps it alive, and that's what we want, really, isn't it? We want it to be alive.
That's right. And the best place to keep abreast of the pulse of Witton Albion is obviously the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. I take it you'll be covering Witton Albion and Stafford this weekend?
Absolutely. I'll be probably doing it all the Witton games now, certainly while they're right in the thick of things. So, yeah, I'll be at Winchy Park tomorrow, rain permitting, because it's, surprise, surprise, raining in Norwich today. So follow me at Simo_on_sport and everything else will be on NorwichGuardian.co.uk later today.
Andrew Simpson there from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, and a big thank you to Mr. Andrew Simpson for joining us on this week's show. So Farsley Celtic 1, Witton Albion 1, Shawlane beat Stalybridge Celtic by 2-0, and Whitby Town 2, Warrington Town 2. Those were the results on Thursday evening. Very shortly we'll be hearing from Chris Hardy, but let's talk now to Farsley Celtic's manager Adam Lakeland. So Adam, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the show. First things first, just your reaction following last night's result against Witton Albion. I mean, on paper it looks like a very useful point, that, for Farsley.
It's a difficult game, made even more difficult with the schedule that we've had. I think us going into that game, having played Thursday, Saturday, then Tuesday night away at Workington, you know, made it very difficult for us last night, and especially with Witton not having played for 9 days, you know, so they'd had quite a long time to prepare for that game, and physically you could tell certainly in the last, you know, 25, 30 minutes of the game that they were superior to us. But overall, I think it's a much better point at this stage for us than it is for Witton. I think they'll be slightly aggrieved that they've only come away with a point, because they really put us under a lot of pressure at certain stages in the game. And, you know, credit to our lads for digging in and showing resilience, putting the bodies on the line. And it was great to get something out of that game following 3, you know, excellent wins in the run-up to it. So, yeah, it's a useful point. And and it keeps our run going.
I mean, it's quite remarkable that we're talking about a fixture issue with Fasa Celtic, because one of the things we've been touching upon with yourself, Adam, throughout the season is just how many games played more that Fasa Celtic have had on the league table. But other clubs haven't, and that means that you're having to fill these fixtures as well. So it's having an impact on Fasa Celtic too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're not on our own. You know, there's a number of clubs that are suffering because of you know, the backlog that other clubs have got, and it is what it is. I can't hide that how disappointed I am with it. I think the league really needs to have a look at. You know, before we played the Whitby game, I think it took us nearly 9 weeks to play our previous six league games, and we'd had only one midweek game in 7 weeks. You know, granted, we had a couple that were called off because of the snow that everybody was affected by, but I think, you know, for us at such an important stage, to be playing the volume of games that we are in such a short period of time when we've been ahead of everybody else on fixtures pretty much all season, I think it's really poor, to be honest. But you know, we'll just get on with it, and you know, like I say, credit to our lads, they've dug in and they've kept themselves in the race. I think, you know, for quite a few months now, I think a lot of people have dismissed our chances because of the games in hand that people around us had, but we've just kept our heads down. And you know, I had a similar situation when I was at Northwich a couple of years ago, where we were playing catch up on games, and it's difficult. And you know, ultimately we fell short and got beat in the playoffs by Spennymoor. And it is, you know, points on the board at this stage. Certainly with the games coming thick and fast as they are, I think that's more important than the games in hand. But you know, we've put ourselves in a good position. We've fought to play. And you know, we'll just continue to do the best we can in our last fixtures, and hopefully we can do enough to sneak in there.
I mean, Adam, I've been doing the show for 5 years now, and you've kind of killed it for me, because I always ask the same question to managers this time of the year: would you rather have points on the board or games in hand and all that? You've answered it quite clearly this season. In all fairness, though, when it comes to the fixtures, there's still matches being postponed. I mean, Stourbridge was meant to be taking place last night. That got rained off, and not too far in Yorkshire, you got Stocksbridge against Frickley, which was postponed. So it's a tough season. But do you feel like the football authorities, not necessarily the league, but the FA, should be looking at a bit more of a broader brushed view on non-league, that maybe there should be a bit more flexibility on extending the season, perhaps?
You know, extending the season for all clubs, it can have a, you know, a knock-on impact with budgets, you know, because you've got to obviously pay your players then for an additional week or two, and it doesn't apply to every club where they need the season extending. I think, you know, what I would like to see is to see people being stricter in terms of, you know, facilities and pitches foremost. Have you got an infrastructure that's capable of you know, playing games to a good standard at this level of football? You know, I mean, nobody can do anything about the weather. You know, the weather up and down the country has affected everybody. You know, we had it ourselves a couple of weeks ago when the Whitby game got called off with them having travelled, and you know, perhaps us as a club, we could have maybe dealt better with that situation. But you know, I just think that the number of games has been called off. It is affecting numerous clubs, and I'm not a massive believer that the season needs to be extended. But you know, we seem to go hell for leather at the beginning of the season, playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, and then you kind of die off a little bit in the middle. Certainly, if you're not involved in like the latter stages of the FA or competitions, and then you go hell for leather again at the end of the season. So, and the other thing that I've always struggled to get my head around is, you know, we always start a week bit later than, you know, most other leagues, and I just cannot get my head around that, because there's so much excitement, you know, when pre-season's going on, and players and managers and supporters and directors, they can't wait for the season to start. And you see all the games from the top level, and even, you know, in the Vanarama, the counties divisions, they all start a week before, and we've got an extra week of pre-season to do, when there's an opportunity right there to get, you know, two games in right at the beginning of the season. So I think there's a few things that need to be looked at. you know. But I don't envy the job of the people at the league who are responsible for rearranging these fixtures, because it must be a very, very difficult challenge, and good luck to them.
I think they might take on board that starting the season a bit earlier. I think that might be handier. But just to finish off then, Adam, obviously this weekend, Fazza Celtic against Warrington Town. Fazza Celtic...
Another easy game.
Another easy game, exactly. And just 2 weeks after the last easy game as well. So Fazza Celtic are in the player positions at the moment. Shaw Lane, that was a vital win that they got. That puts themselves kind of back in it somewhat. So you can't afford to drop any points now in the remaining few games of the season, can you, I suppose?
I don't know. I mean, preferably we won't. But, you know, every single game in this division, Ben, is so difficult. You know, we've got Warrington tomorrow. They've had an excellent season. They've proven over the course of the season that they're one of the best teams in the league, and we expect a very difficult game. As we will, you know, the following weekend when we go to Barwell, and then we've got the rematch with Witton before we play Marine on the final game of the season. So we expect, you know, every game is going to be incredibly difficult. But we've just got to keep going. You know, I've been saying it to you now the last two or three times that we've spoken. You know, obviously Shaw Lane are the ones that have got, you know, 3 games in hand, and the gap's down with obviously us drawing and then winning last night. But I think people would have expected them to beat Marine on Monday, and I went to that game and Marine were excellent, you know, and thoroughly deserved to win that match. So all we can do is just concentrate on ourselves, try and get as many points on the board as we can from our remaining 4 games, and hopefully we can do enough to just creep in there.
Adam Laitland there, manager at Fazza Celtic. Fazza Celtic 1, Witton Albion 1, a result from Thursday evening, as was Whitby Town 2, Warrington Town 2. That result there for Whitby Town came on the back of an announcement from the club that manager Chris Hardy had signed an extension to his tenure at the Turnbull Ground. And on Friday afternoon, I caught up with Chris and I started off by asking him for his reaction to that point against Warrington Town on Thursday evening.
I think it had to be an emotion of public disappointment, especially given the nature that we've ended up at a 2-2 scoreline. Last kick of the game, you know, in a game that it was probably a bit of a leveller based on the conditions. Like you say, a very, very wet pitch. I don't believe Warrington asked many questions of us offensively, yet they had the fair share of the possession. But like you say, I thought the boys put a really, you know, spirited, battling performance in. And as I say, the mood at the end of the game was one of disappointment that we didn't take all 3 points.
But moving on to the future, and obviously this week the main news coming out of Whitby is you've got a contract extension to take you to the end of next year at least, and that brings a bit of stability to the club. And what's this going to mean now for the end of the season with regards to the squad that you currently got? Have you now got an eye permanently on the close season and next season?
Well, I think given the fact that we've confirmed our involvement at the respective level for the coming season, we can use this time from now to the end of the season to get a pre-season going, if you'd like to call it that. We've got to make sure that we use this, you know, wisely. We've got to make sure that things that we want to look at, the players that maybe we want to introduce, we do that. And like I say, take some positives, you know, into the pre-season, along with, you know, trying to finish as high as we can, obviously, in this campaign.
When we've had previous discussions, you've been struggling with getting a settled side together and that kind of thing. You have made some changes over recent months, and they seem to have bore some fruit. Are you happy with the general direction the squad's been going in this side of Christmas?
I think, like most managers, you know, come the summer, you will be looking at the squad. You'll be looking, obviously, to try and improve. When I say improve, you know, you're trying to bring in better players than what you've got already. That goes without saying. But like you say, you know, there's players at the club that have got, you know, good futures in the game. They've got good abilities. So we've got to work out, you know, if the club's the right fit and vice versa. So that'll be the first part of the call, making sure that we do the business within the existing group. And then, like you say, in the summer,
you know, I'm expecting a busy summer in terms of both players coming.
And what does it, as a manager of Whitby Town, I mean, this weekend you're taking on Matlock Town, and it feels like a kind of similar situation in a way. It's a kind of a weird situation that a lot of clubs find themselves in that the league's pretty much done now for a lot of clubs, and have been done for ages. How difficult is this where, you know, you're in the mid-table pack and there isn't much to play for? How difficult is that side of things for motivating a squad?
Well, we found it difficult, or I mean, with exception to last night, we found it difficult over the last couple of games, you know, from the point of view of we want players, you know, to relax, we want players to enjoy the football, you know, and then that has, unfortunately for us, it's had a bit of a reverse effect. You know, we've relaxed too much and we've become non-competitive, you know, in certain periods of the game. So we went back to basics last night, and like you say, in doing that, like you say, we got 11 performances that we were happy with, and, you know, on a different night, we come away with all 3 points. So, again, you know, lads taking the foot off the gas is something that we don't want to happen, because we're still trying to, you know, use the remainder of the season. But like you say, the little goals that we're trying to achieve, and the, you know, the experiments or the personnel that we're looking at. So again, we're trying to make sure that it is productive rather than it just be going through the motions.
And it's also difficult as well when your team's quite good at the moment with the number of games you've played, but you're still having to squeeze in fixtures. Obviously, you've got Matlock this weekend, a Thursday night game coming up as well against Grantham. That's important. And then you're back to action again against Marine on Saturday. So how's that side of things with regards to, you know, squeezing in all the fixtures in the last month or so? I just get it to the end.
Yeah, I mean, again, the finish line's in sight. I think, unfortunately, we've spent an awful lot of time talking about the weather. How we've managed to get a backlog of fixtures, given the fact that we've been very unsuccessful in cup competitions this year, is beyond me. But, again, it comes back down to the weather. It's just played absolute havoc. You know, so, as I say, last night's game, that potentially could have been called off because, like you say, it was very heavy going. But it's important that we get these games, you know, fixtures fulfilled and get the season boxed off and, like I said, switch the attention to the coming season.
Well, Chris, a big thank you for taking time out of a busy afternoon to come on the show. Congratulations again for the contract extension. I think all the pundits here would agree it's well deserved. You have a lovely summer, and we'll speak to you in the pre-season. And a big thank you to Chris Hardy, manager at Whitby Town, for joining us on this week's show. And a big thank you to all my guests as well. Adam Lakeland at Farns and Celtic, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, Matt Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast, Gibbo from Averton Colliers, and James Hayes, of course, too. A big, big thank you, one and all, for joining us on this week's show. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news and goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.